Okay, yesterday we left off, and we were speaking about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his machshava, and we emanate from his neshama. We emanate, rather, from his machshava, not from his dibur. Right? There's dibur, there's speech, and speech is the external, and what you think, that's the internal. Okay? So, for example, machshava is higher than dibur, because I can't express to somebody how much I love them. Okay? This is what the pasuk means when it says that Klal Yisrael is the bechor pasuk in this week's parsha. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, that we are Hashem's children. We are the bechor. So we have to understand in a deep way what does this mean that we are the child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't just say like in a poetic way that we're the child of Hashem. We have to say it in a meaningful way. We are the child of Hashem. So what does this mean? Pirish. Well, let's go into the Mu'eris first. Inyan zesh neshmas yisrael nimshachu mimachshavosi yisbarach haynu impnimiyas alokos olu b'kine echad ima amar b'tarish shaklal yisrael nikra b'ni b'chari yisrael. This idea that klal yisrael emanates from the pnimiyas of Hashem, from the machshava and not from the dibur, it goes hand in hand with this concept of calling us the ben b'char of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single Jew on an individual level is called a child to Hashem. So it's not just that on a general level all of Klal Yisrael is considered the child of Hashem, but even on a specific level, every single Jew is called the child of Hashem. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. Ki hayachas bein ha-nesham l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu kemo hayachas shel ben l'aviv. Sheha-ben mushrash b'pnimiyuso shel ha-av. We're going to see that it's literally the same relationship as a child to a father. It's not just a poetic thing. Yes, it's the relationship between a child and a father. It means it. It really means it. This is the relationship between a child and a father. Now, Pirish, kemoi shehaben nimshach mimoach ha'av, in the same way that a son comes from the intellect, from the brain of the father. Now, what does this mean? This is based on a Gemara. Yodua shehatipa shemimenu mishavim kol chalkei guf kol guf avlad shor shemimoach ha'av. We know, it's based on a Rashi in Chulin, that it's really on a Gemara in Chulin, but the tipa, meaning that seminal drop that begins the child's life, coming from the man, where does that really emanate from? It really emanates from the father's mind. So this is going to explain, we're going to see many details of this, how the DNA of a father is passed on to the child, right? Because we know that a child is not just physical, but very often has the attributes and characteristics of the parents. So we're going to explain what it means that it comes from the father's mind. You're going to see. We know that very often the child relates very much to the father, right? So it goes like this. What is it, when we talk about the mind, what does that mean? So the nefesh is called the nefesh sichlis. Okay? It means one of the most spiritual component parts of a person is their intellect. When you think, as I've said to you guys many times this year, when you think, can you measure a thought? No, you can measure the brain wave that emanates from the thought. But you cannot measure a thought. The thought is spiritual in its nature because it's beyond the finite world. Now, I can experience that because I have a spiritual neshama. So the spiritual neshama is my thought. The expression of my spiritual neshama is my thoughts. When a child is born, he's not just endowed with the physical DNA that then makes up his fingernails, his toes, his looks. My mother was at my house the other day teaching English to my 9-year-old, to Chana, and Chana and my mother look eerily similar. It's like wild. And they were sitting next to the couch on each other. They were sitting next to each other on the couch, And I commented to my mother, it's like watching an older version of Chana teach a younger version of Chana how to read. And my mother looks like my grandmother. She should live and be well. And so when you see all three of them together, whenever my grandmother comes to Israel, so we take pictures of all three of them together, it's scary. You see like my grandmother, who's in her 80s, my mother, I won't say how old she is, yeah, because if she's listening to this tape, she'd be very upset at me, yeah, and my 9-year-old Chana. So you see, it's like, but that's not the only thing that's being passed on. Very often, there's a lot, there's more than that that's being passed on. The spiritual is being passed on. The particular characteristics of a person is being passed on. Right? That's why parents always say to children, and children don't get this until they become parents, you got that from your father. Yeah? You got that from your mother. That's been in our family for generations. Okay, but it's time to work out the anger issues. Okay, you know, but so this is when we say that the tipa comes from the mind, what we really mean is the spiritual component parts that make up a person, they come from that father, that initial flash of I want to have a child. And then that endows that tipa with a certain spirituality, and that spirituality makes up the child. Again, this is why it's so difficult for parents when they see their child doing something that they don't like. Because parents feel very connected to children. And it's natural, but it could be a little unhealthy. Because parents are so invested in, like, it's my child. In a certain way, it could become very dangerous, because if the child messes up, the parent looks at it as their failure. And that's not fair. First of all, because it's not your failure. And second of all, because the child has, as we said yesterday, the child has to be able to fail. So the real creation of a child begins in the mind. It doesn't begin in the physical investment of that tipa, because the tipa has to be endowed with that spirituality. There's a spiritual koach that you have. Where is that spiritual koach? It's in your intellect. I cannot tell you this enough times. Ignorance is not bliss. It's just ignorant. You can't be ignorant your whole life. It's true that if I'm ignorant about something, I'm not in pain from that particular thing. Sometimes it's better for me not to know because I can't deal with that particular thing. But it's good to know. It's good to know things. Why? Because knowledge and spirituality come hand in hand. True knowledge, not just information. I saw this from Rabbi David Aaron, a great quote, and I want to just teach it to you guys now because I think it's very meaningful. He said, philosophy is a crime if it's not followed by action. It's like eating the menu as opposed to eating the food. That's the difference between information and knowledge. Information is something that if I have it, I have it, and it doesn't really do anything for me. So if I'm going to go learn about the Great Wall of China, I'm not necessarily sure how that's going to help me in my life. But when something goes from information to knowledge, that means it changed something in me. Knowledge is the way that we create change. So if I have knowledge, I've changed something about myself and the way that I interact with everybody else. It goes hand in hand. You can't talk about knowledge without talking about action. You could talk about information without talking about action. But you can't talk about knowledge without talking about action. If something is remaining information where you want it to be knowledge, then you have to look inside of yourself and figure out what is that block that's stopping it from going from information to knowledge. Another way we say that, which is a very deep way of saying that, is that Klal Yisrael is described as a stiff-necked nation. We have trouble getting things from our head to our heart. I know it, but it hasn't become knowledge by me in my heart that I act on it passionately. If you're having trouble in your life figuring out how to get from your head to your heart, if you're having trouble getting from your head to your heart, that's not the time to stop. That's the time to redouble your efforts. Like a guy who's running a business. And he's got a great business. He has a great product. But he's not making any money. Well, that's not the time to shut down your business. That's the time to redouble your efforts. If you've really got the greatest product out there, so go build your business. Redouble your efforts. Don't say, forget it, I guess it's not meaningful. No, it is meaningful. So you have to redouble your efforts.
The same piece of idea can be knowledge and can be information?
Depending on the person. For a person living in China, it might become knowledge. For me, it's just information. But when something is inherently meaningful, it should be knowledge for everybody. So when we talk about things that are true, right? And I'm not talking about, like, it's true that there's a tree there. But we talk about the truth of existence, that has to be knowledge for everybody. For Goyim, for Yidden in America, for Yidden in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't matter, you know, in this country, there's no Jews. There's no Jews in this country. I wish there were Jews in this country, but there's no Jews in this country. All there are in this country is Haredim, Mizrachnikim, Tzionim, Chilonim, Chardalim. There's no Jews in this country. If there were Jews, we could get along. But the way it works is like, oh, that's just information to me because I'm Haredi, and it may be knowledge to him because he's Tzioni. No, if it's knowledge about Torah, then it's just knowledge, and that applies to everybody. Halavai, we should be able to take in knowledge from all places. That's what it means. Ezeu chacham halomin mikol adam. That's what we're trying to teach you in this yeshiva. Yeah, you can learn from everybody. You can learn something from everybody. It doesn't matter what yarmulke he wears. In a famous article from Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, he says, Mashiach would like to come. He just doesn't know what yarmulke to wear. Okay, he's going to come, but he's going to be wearing this type of yarmulke. Nobody's going to accept him. If he's not wearing a shtreimel, then the Hasidim won't accept him. He wants to come. He's sitting there. He's waiting. He's walking around Yerushalayim. He's one of those guys, you know, just probably sitting by the kotel collecting money. He's one of those guys. He doesn't know what to do. He can't figure out. He doesn't know what yarmulke to wear. Okay, but that was basically my own rant that had nothing really to do with the Tanya. Which is okay, going back, is the intellect is the home of the Ruchnius. The Hamshachos of Yiridaso. So in this way we create a child. It begins in the mind. I have the idea, the concept, I want to create a child. And I'm investing these kochos of ruchnius and these kochos of gashmius into the creation of a child. And in that way, now look at the deep connection that exists between a parent and a child. Because what is the child made up of? The child is made up of the different aspects of the parents. Where does the child come from? From the intellect of the father. It's not that we have a relationship. No. The parent-child bond is much bigger than a relationship. It's not like I'm attached to you because I came from you. No. It's much more than that. Elohu Shehu Keshem Klolos Nefesh Ha'av. We have a connection to the general entity of who you are and who I am are inextricably linked. And as I mentioned before, this is one of the reasons that a parent-child relationship is at once so beautiful and so complex. I was talking to a girl not that long ago, who was telling me that her relationship with her parents, it's mamash an abusive relationship. It's a real abusive relationship in the classic sense of the word. She comes from an abusive relationship. And it's so painful for her. You could be abused. If your friend abuses you, so it's not nice, so you drop him and then that's you just go weiter, yeah? When a parent abuses a child, the trauma is so heavy because what I am is what you are. When you speak to people that have been abused, you know what their number one fear is? I'm afraid to turn out like them. That's the number one fear. I don't want to be like them. You speak to abused people, they don't want to be like them. It's terrifying that I'm going to do that to my own children. And we know, by the way, that that's very often the case. If a person doesn't get help, the general rule is hurt people, hurt people. You get that? Hurt people, hurt people. So it's because we have such a strong relationship with our parents, it goes beyond the relationship. It's I am you, you are me, even though we need, as we said, we need to create that separation in order to be healthy. Shahariya Kesha ben Avu Beno, who bechlalus mitzius, it goes to the generality of their entire existence. Chusheyem, kesherneyem, v'tuchnoseyem, right? It's, you see, you know, again, I know probably your teachers have said this to you before, and I'm sure, Ravelli, I'm sure you could back me up on this. When you meet a guy in yeshiva, you know him. When his parents come to visit, then they make sense. Then they make sense. Parent-teachers nights I Baruch Hashem, don't teach in high school. But I'm told by teachers in high school that on the first night when you meet the parents, everything clicks. All of a sudden, it makes sense. I should warn you that you have to be very careful. Yoni, I'm sure you've probably heard this from me before. I apologize. But did I ever tell you the story of the time that my parents went to parent-teacher conference
Yeah.
I told you that story? Well, you guys haven't heard it. But I'm sorry, Yoni. You've really... I don't even know why you come to Shir anymore. You've basically heard everything I have to say.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
You can repeat it.
My parents showed up to parent-teacher conferences in 10th grade, and I was really nervous because there was this one teacher. I hated him, and he hated me. And I was really nervous. And, you know, it was one of those times, like, your parents are going out, and you're 10th grade, you're a little kid still, you know, and it's like, I'm, like, afraid my parents are going to come back, I'm going to be in so much trouble. I've basically done nothing the entire year so far. And my parents walk into this, to the parent-teacher conference, and he looks at them and he says, "You don't even need to tell me who you are, you're the spitting image of your son, the spitting image. You don't even have to tell me who you are, I know exactly who you are." He sits down with my parents, and he tells them, "Your son is doing terribly." And my parents were kind of like expecting it. Like, I have parents that pretty much knew who I was. So like, they were kind of expecting it. They weren't like particularly shocked. But then he starts going off. And he's like, "And I want to tell you something else about your son. There's no question he's doing drugs." And my father was like, "No, he's not." And my mother was like, "No, I wasn't actually." And it's a good question. I wasn't. And my parents are like defending me, and he's like, "Listen, you cannot be these parents that are constantly defending their child. Your kid needs help. You have a responsibility to get your kid help." And my mother's like, "Look, I know my kid. He's not doing drugs." Back and forth, back and forth. Finally, he looks at my parents and he goes, "Listen, Akiva is doing drugs." And my parents look at him and go, "Who's Akiva?" He was talking about another guy in my class who really was doing drugs, by the way. You know? That guy actually today is a Dion, believe it or not. He's like probably like the biggest, you know, success story to come out of that class.
That's so awkward. Did your parents know that kid?
Yeah. So
like, they found out before his parents.
Yeah, his parents found out just a couple minutes later. You know, he actually got thrown out of school that year. But the funniest thing, so after that, he gave me the best report ever. He gave me the best report ever. He was so embarrassed. Like, and now he's going to come back and say, like, "Oh, well, your son stinks too." You know, like, what are you going to say? He gave me the best report. My parents came home. I'm like, "How'd it go?" They're like, "It was good." I was like, "Really?" They're like, "Oh, yeah. What happened was that initially he thought you were Akiva and he thought you were a drug addict." And I was like, "Wait, what?" You know, like, a week later, I got thrown out of that class for good because this Rebbe was a known liar. He never told the truth. So and we used to call him out on it all the time. Like, he would say, "Oh yeah, that's a Tosus Divrei Maskil Talis in Bava Metzia." So I have a friend who, again, today is actually very chashev rav as well. He went through all of Bava Metzia. What was that?
It's a classic Rav Steinhardt. So yeah. For all we know, he's just...
The difference is he actually knows this stuff for Steinhardt. But so this guy went through every single Tosus in Bava Metzia. There is no Tosus Divrei Maskil Talis in Bava Metzia. He was a known liar. So... one time in Shir, he said something. I said, "Rebbe, isn't there a Beferish a Tshuvas Hagram Tzmi that goes against that?" He goes, "Yeah, I know. I've seen that Tshuva many times. I've never understood it." What's the problem? And everyone's cracking up in the class. There is no Tshuvas Hagram Tzmi. I am the Gram Tzmi. Hagoner of Mordechai Tzvi Moshe Yaakov. That's my name, you know? So he's like, so he starts cracking up, and he's like, "What?" And they're like, "That's him." He's like, "Out." That was it. They never let me back in the class. They had to switch me to a different class after that. So anyway, yeah, so there's a very strong kesher, again, very little to do with Tanya today. Yeah, there's a very strong kesher between the parents and the child. And you look at the child and you can see the tchunos of the child are in the parent. It's not an accident. V'atam lezeki koch zenot v'pnimius v'atzmius nefesh av. Rak shehiskaluso hi b'moach. The revelation, this is the big point now. The revelation of what exists inside of you is in your moach. So what you think is really important. Because I have certain kochos inside of me, and now in the way that I think, those kochos come out. I see it. I see my own best and worst self in my thoughts. That's really important.
Is everyone, like, in your best and your worst thoughts, you can tell about, like, what do you mean?
You can see both sides of yourself. Sometimes I think this and sometimes I think that. We vacillate very often in our thoughts because it's the revelation of two sides of ourselves.
Why? Because you're saying, like, you can't hide anything in your
thoughts. You can't hide from yourself. You can only hide from yourself for a certain amount of time.
But yeah, so I'm saying it's in your thoughts. Like, it's
yeah, in your thoughts, it comes out.
It's not gonna...
That's right. That's right, exactly. That's why we have the poison box. The poison box is where we take our thoughts and stuff them, try to deep down, so I don't have to think about that terrible thing that I really believe that I am. But of course, it's really there. That's called your subconscious. That's what messes you up, right? And that's because your thoughts are very, very powerful. So your thoughts, that revelation of your spirituality that exists inside of you, you pass that on to your child in a very direct way. Even though the son is separated from the father, even though we're separate, the depth of connection between father and son is incredibly deep because there's an inherent connection. Now, let's see how this relates to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All relationships, I think I've said this to you before, but just to be mechazik this idea, all relationships in this world are the devolved relationships between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world. So for example, the parent-child relationship is just the imitation of a much truer relationship, which is between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The husband-wife relationship, same thing. These are the devolved concepts of that particular sphere that exists on a higher level between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay?
How are you supposed to have this, the relationship between a husband and a wife and a mother and son or a father and daughter or whatever are very different.
If you really learn Chassidus, you'll see, and the Alter Rebbe was very into this, not in Tanya necessarily, though obviously here with parent and child, but the Alter Rebbe has pieces in Likutei Torah and Likutei Or. I'm actually learning them before davening, if people want to join me. I'm learning these pieces now before davening, special pre-Shachas Chavrusa, 7:30. I know it's like nobody is alive at 7:30, but I'm doing how marriage is actually just a microcosm of our relationship with Hashem. It's true. They're very much the same.
That with Hashem, so you're saying I have a relationship with my parents, and I also hope to have a relationship with my wife, but those relationships are very different. So how am I supposed to have both those kinds of relationships as a greater whole with Hashem?
Because those are two aspects of how we relate to Hashem. One is as a husband and a wife, and the other is as a parent and a child. And those two aspects by us are two aspects, but by Him are really one. So it's the way you're right. Obviously, if you relate, and this happens, by the way, that there are husbands and wives that relate to each other as parent and child. It's very sick if you see it. No, I know people like this. That the wife is like a mommy to the husband.
I know a couple.
Yeah, and people, or the husband is like, he treats his wife like his daughter, and he like babies her and takes care of her and protects her. These are not husbandly things necessarily. So it's very distorted. It's unhealthy. These things are separate. By us, they're separate. We have to use both of those energies to connect to Hashem. So now let's see the parent-child relationship. Look how it goes. This is mamish unbelievable, and we're going to learn something very strong today about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chachma. We really need to finish this up today. Kach kaviyach, I don't want to go into Shabbos leaving you guys hanging. Otherwise, you won't be able to have a pleasant Shabbos. You'll just be wondering the whole Shabbos, what am I doing? Kach kaviyachol nishmas kol ish Yisrael nimshachem imachshavosu v'chachmosu yisbarach. In the very same way, the same way the father creates the child, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Klal Yisrael. V'kachu benimshol, hatam l'kach shebnei Yisrael nikraim banim l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hu lefi sheshoresh nishmas kol ish Yisrael, kol l'rabbas gam pshutim u'megushomim b'yoyser, hu mimachshavosu v'chachmosu yisbarach. Yisrael olu b'machshava shenimshechu mibechinas hamochin shelamala. Huge concept. Remember, the mashal, the parable, is parent-child. The nimshal, the lesson, is us in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where do we emanate from? And we, when the Rebbe says kol Yisrael, he points out over here, kol means even those people that you look down upon, which is a joke, right? Even the Kal Shabakalim, even the ones that are much more physical than spiritual, we all emanated from the same place, namely Hashem's essence. The same way we emanate from our Father's essence, from our Father's spirituality, and He endows that essence into the child, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the same way, endows Klal Yisrael with His essence. So the Jew really is a Chelek Elokam Mimal Mamish. In a real way, we have the essence of Hashem in us. By the way, this is not just Chassidus. The Gemara in Brachos says this beferish. Five things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that relate to the same five things that the Neshama has. The Gemara in Brachos on Yud Amud Aleph. So this is not a Chassidish concept. This is very grounded in Chazal for generations already. Even though the neshama of a person is separated from its source, lios davar b'fnei atzmo, to be its own thing, the same way that the child is separated from the parent, but very deeply connected, so too we are separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but connected in our essence. Our essence is His essence. Because we come, we emanate from His essence. And what is His essence? So where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, so to speak? In His Chachma. Now, there's a very basic problem with saying this. It's a philosophical problem, which the Rebbe is about to address. How could you describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Chachma? Man has Chachma. So if you think about man, right, you're not your thoughts. Your thoughts reveal to you something that you really are. By us, we have our self, we have our thoughts, we have our emotions, right? So we have our actions, and in our world, these are separate parts. By Hashem, there's no such thing as separate parts. So what does it mean that we emanate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Moach? What does it mean that we emanate from His Chachma? There's no such thing as parts by Hashem. All is one. So the Rebbe says here a very important thing, and it's really from the Rambam, and he quotes the Rambam. De'ihu chakim v'lo b'chachma yediya elahu v'chachmaso echad. God is wise, but not in the same knowledge. He doesn't have knowledge in the same way that we have knowledge. This is a hugely important point because it answers the question of how God can know something. I don't want to get into this now. I'm just giving it to you in a microcosm because it's important not to skip over. That's the way that we can have free will, despite the fact that God already has knowledge of what we're going to do. The reason that we as humans cannot comprehend this concept is because our understanding of wisdom, the way that we relate to wisdom, the way that we relate to Chachma, is it's two separate things. Hashem, meaning I'm not my wisdom, I'm not my thoughts, but I have thoughts. By Hashem, it's not true. There's no such thing as Hashem has thoughts. He and His thoughts are one. So we can't understand the way that God's knowledge works. It's not even shaykh to talk about. So we always talk about it. The question is built on a false premise. If I know you're going to do something, then you don't have free choice to do it because I already knew you were going to do it. Yeah, you're talking about human knowledge. God's knowledge is not even fundamentally similar to your wisdom, to your chachma. They don't work in the same way. Elohu v'chachmaso echad. Now, man cannot understand this concept of hu v'chachmaso echad, as the Rebbe says. I don't know if he says it. Does he say it straight out? I thought he says it straight out. Okay, anyway, it comes out from the Rambam, that which we're going to quote in a minute, that the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chachma, the way that He is with His Chachma, is that He is His Chachma. He and His Chachma are not separated from each other. You understand? But this cannot be understood by man, because the only way that we can relate to wisdom is that wisdom is a part that we have. So this is something that cannot possibly be understood. The way the Rambam says it, Kamosha Kosova Rambam, Shehu Hamada, Vihu Hayodeya. God is the knower and He is the knowledge. In all thoughts, right, there's me, there's the thing that's known, the knowledge, right? And then my ability to know that thing. So there's always three things: me, my knowledge, and then the actual knowledge, the actual thing that I'm knowing about. By Hashem, those are all one. There's no such thing as God knowing knowledge. Because that would be parts. That wouldn't be infinite. That wouldn't be one. So this is a very deep concept. So it means God and His thoughts are one. What does that mean to man? Can't understand it. Beyond human comprehension. One day when we understand the Rabbeinu Shalom in a more intimate way in Olam Haba, all of these things will make sense to us. But, by the way, even though it's a little like disconcerting sometimes to think that there's no way that we could know this about Hashem, it's also very inspiring in a certain way because it means that it's so much bigger than me. I always tell the guys this. I would never worship LeBron James even though he's the best basketball player. Why? Because I am also a basketball player. He's just much, 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 much better than me. Yeah? But not ad infinitum. He's just much better than me. If we were to play a game, I don't think I'd score. But I'm playing the game with him. I saw John Wall was trash-talking. I saw this on YouTube once. That John Wall, somebody was trash-talking him on the side while he was working out. So he said, all right, come on the court. And the guy actually scored 3 points on him. Well, you know, and in the NBA, that gets you a, what, $50, $60 million contract today? But what was that? You saw that video? And the guy scored. I was a little surprised. An NBA player, you wouldn't think a scrub would be able to score on him. The guy scored 3 times, I think, right?
Yeah, but he's not a scrub. He's...
I would ever, but compared to the NBA, the guy's a scrub, you know? Yeah. So, the point is that I worship Hashem because it's not the pshat that basically I'm him, but he's just bigger than me. No, we're in a different playing field. He's infinite beyond human comprehension. So, even though there's a big distance there, it's actually the distance that makes me yearn even more to be close to him. That's the way that we look at distance. We don't look at distance as scary. We look at distance as inspiring. Right? That's why sometimes fear can be bigger than love. Why fear can really create a much deeper form of love, as I mentioned in the Sicha the other night. Oh, he says it beferish. V'davar zeh ein b'yecholos ha'adam l'havinu abuya. This is impossible for man to understand. K'dechsiv, as the Pasuk in Iyo says, ha'cheker elokat timsa, uchsiv, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, k'ilo machshavosai, machshavoseichen. It's impossible to understand what this means. So let's just make sure that we have it clear to understand everything that we've done in this parak. Number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew life into us. What does it mean? He blew life into us. He didn't speak. Meaning it came from his essence. Yeah, what is his essence? His essence is his machshava. Is his machshava like our machshava? No, those are two totally separate things. But why do we have, why does our children emanate from our machshava? It's to teach us a deeper lesson, which is that we emanate from his essence. We are inextricably linked to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in essence. So our machshava is not like his machshava, but the same concept of machshava, the fact that he has a spiritual essence, and we are the ray to the sun of that spiritual essence, that's what we are. So you got to know the tools of the trade. We'll finish with this. You got to know the tools of the trade. You're coming into the war of the Nefesh Elokis versus the Nefesh HaBahamis. What do you have to know about the Nefesh Elokis? What's the first thing that you need to know about the Nefesh Elokis? You have the nuclear weapon. Even though they have, you know, all the taiva, yeah, but you have a much bigger nuclear weapon, which is that you have the essence of Hashem planted inside of you. Not in an indirect way, not in a chitzonius way, not al pi dibur, but from machshava. In a direct way. So that means that naturally, even though we don't always feel this, naturally we already have what we need. You don't need to go anywhere else to get what you need. So it's not the pshat that you need to sit in the base medrash for 10 years before you're ready to fight the battle. No, you're ready to fight the battle right now. You need to sit in base medrash because that's part of the choices that we make towards taking our Nefesh Bahamas under control. But you're not in there to learn how to fight the war. You're fighting the war right now. I'm teaching you, you already have a tool. The Alter Rebbe is teaching us that you already have the greatest tool you need. And that's that the essence of God is what you are. A guy cannot fight that battle in the same way. A guy does not have the Nefesh Elokis that a Jew has. Have a wonderful Shabbos.